Right now, it is time for us to be joined by Thorin Christendotter of Main Street Magazine. You can find Main Street Magazine at so many different locations throughout the tri-state region for free pickup, and also their companion website, which is mainstreetmag.com. And we are still in the month of October, and we say good morning, Thorin. Good morning, Thorin.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Did you get a lot of rain and thunder there last night?
We sure did. I'm still listening to it right now.
Yeah, most people reported between 1 and 2 inches of rain last night, and we can expect through the course of the day today, another 1 to 2 inches of rain. So I think that once again, you'll have, if it warms up at all, you'll have to mow your lawn one more time because lawns still are growing. Well, anyway, let's go to your issue this month was really based on the local area and history. And one story that we really didn't cover, and you have one thing I'll say about your magazine, Main Street Magazine, is the stories that you put in the magazine and that you put online are accompanied with the most stunning pictures. And especially in an issue like this where you're dealing with history, the story is a glimpse inside local history, and you have some absolutely stunning pictures.
Thank you. Well, we always try to find, you know, pictures, or sometimes our subjects, you know, provide fantastic photos. Very few times we have to send a photographer out for photos for the specific story, but a glimpse inside local history is something that Griffin put together from a couple of the local historical societies. So we have to thank the historical societies for their photos that went with this article to support the content of the piece that Griffin wrote here.
Well, it's just so interesting, the main photo of it, but then you've got the church steeples, and the photo that I love the most is the Ichabod Crane photo. I wonder if kids still know about Ichabod Crane.
I mean, when I was growing up, especially around this time of year, it was certainly always something to discuss, but it was such a, you know, did it happen down in Sleepy Hollow down south of us, or did it actually happen up in a Kinderhook? And, you know, I went to Taconic Hill, so we were rivals with Ichabod Crane School, and, you know, so we had a couple of not-so-nice nicknames for them, you know, but, you know, we always, you know, listened to the lore of it and drove by it up in that area where supposedly the Headless Horseman went there and here, and so I would imagine the kids today know of it. I don't know if they realize, you know, it's supposed to have happened in our area, but I hope they do.
Yeah, it's one of those stories that that is actually handed down through years after years after years. Now, I have to go back to the story that we talked about last week, visiting the Vanderbilts. After we got off the air, I received quite a few emails from people that actually did, on the same day, a visit to the Roosevelt estate and then the Vanderbilt estate. And they came away with just an amazing perspective on, if you go to the Roosevelt estate, it's impressive. It's where Franklin Delano Roosevelt was laid to rest. It's just a piece of history that is so unbelievably terrific that you can't explain it.
It's a beautiful property.
Yeah, and he's buried there, and there's just so much. But then when you go to the Vanderbilt mansion, it is totally different. It is like you are in a different country. And it can be a long day. I mean, I did this years and years and years ago, and it was almost a four and a half hour day. But if you ever want to compare local American history to a president and to an individual, and then to a family that is just wealthy beyond belief, side by side, the Vanderbilt Mansion and the Roosevelt Estate is a must visit.
It certainly is. I mean, I haven't been there in years, but it used to be on my mom's tour circuit whenever we had family and friends visit from Iceland. There would always be a day that she would drive down to, you know, Roosevelt and then go Vanderbilt. And it was funny because a lot of the commentary was, you know, we would start at Roosevelt and it was, you know, so impressive because it was FDR and this was his home and it was beautiful and it was so interesting and the historic, you know, factor of it. And then you'd go the half mile down the road to Vanderbilt and it would be like, oh my God, Roosevelt's home seemed like almost a shack compared to the Vanderbilt home, and it was just so impressive and the opulence of it. But the history and significance of the Vanderbilt family too was so fascinating, and the fact that we have these two gems right next door to each other that are so full of history for this entire country.
It's almost like the Roosevelt house can fit in one of the great halls at the Vanderbilt.
I know, mansion. It's so crazy.
It really is amazing to look at. A story that we didn't talk about last week, and I want to talk about now, is the story on Fitch's Home for Soldiers. Once again, some incredible pictures and a pretty amazing story.
It is. We're so lucky that Pete Vermillier of the Housatonic Valley Regional High School, two of his students wrote this piece, researched it, and were able to share it with us and have us share it with our readers. I don't know how many folks realize that this home was there and what it did and the significance of it, and, you know, what a piece of history was, not just, you know, for our area, but of the country as well. And I wonder how many other homes, you know, throughout the country were like this, but, you know, the services that they provided, it was just phenomenal.
Well, that's one thing that to the people that have just moved into our area, they're very lucky that they live in an area now where if no matter where you live, whether it's adjacent eastern New York, whether it's in South County, Massachusetts, or whether it's in Northwest Connecticut, from your point, put a compass, and for you folks who don't know, it's something we used to use years ago, and circle it, and in any direction in 50 miles, you will find the history of America shown from our area.
For sure. And I mean, you and I have, through the years since we've been doing this, have numerously talked about different things that, you know, are a little snippet of time and space and significance, but the broader, the ripple effect of it has been significant for this country. I mean, just like, you know, when we were talking about the national parks last week, you know, the ones here in our area, what a bigger significance they had, the fact that FDR here, you know, lived here. And, you know, I think we're just lucky that we're so full of history and major significance for the ripple effect, if you will.
All right, so now we are at the end of October. What is the November issue going to bring us?
It is our annual art and design issue. I hope to have it out by the end, or be delivered to us at least by the end of the week, but we'll see. We just had to get some changes to the printer yesterday, so I'm hoping that they're busy printing up in Troy for us. But that's our art and design issue, where we try to focus on, you know, we brush it with a wide stroke, that topic. And so there's a little bit of everything in there, we're pretty excited about the issue. We have some, you know, interior design, some photography, some, you know, art, sculpture, so a little bit of everything.
Well, it's interesting because also in our area, when you talk about interior design, art, and sculpture, we're in an area that not only gives us a history, but gives us the incredible talents of so many famous designers and artists and sculptors. It's amazing.
It just blows my mind. Like, for example, one of the pieces that is in this coming issue, Regina wrote a piece about Opus 40. I don't know, you probably are aware of it because it was across the river where you know, spend so much time. But it's just, the imagery is beautiful. And the, you know, this artist worked with granite and created a multi-acres of just, I think it's just sculpture. But it's become kind of a park, if you will, and it's just beautiful. So I'm excited for everyone to see the images and experience it, and I want to go there. I want to go see this, and I didn't even realize it was just across the river.
Well, when I lived in Kingston and worked in radio there, I went to Opus 40 several times. As a matter of fact, I remember the day when the person who created that had an accident and passed away, and how the community was so shaken, and they were worried that would Opus 40 continue. And if you haven't seen it, it's almost kind of like seeing the Grand Canyon for the first time. You're just amazed what one man, or else I'll say Mount Rushmore, or the Indian monument that's being built now, what one person can do with a vision is amazing.
It really is, and Regina goes kind of through the story, and I believe it was the late 70s that he passed away, and she also goes through what happened at that time, and how, I'm just blanking on the artist's name, but his wife, how she made it, and you know, basically contributed to the state, so it stayed open, and it's kind of, I don't know if it's technically a park or not, but it'll forever be open, and it's just a beautiful space.
Well, Main Street Magazine is a magazine, of course. You can find it for pickup throughout the area and also on mainstreetmag.com on the web. Thorne, we'll check in with you next week and see what the new issue has to offer.
Sounds terrific, and we're already working on December.
You have to in this business.
We do, and we're already talking January and February, so I'm just like, what month is it?
We always get a little mixed up here at the radio station when it's the end of the month as well. All right, yeah. Thorne, we'll speak to you next week.
Terrific.
Bye. Take care. Thorne Christendotter, once again, Main Street Magazine. You can find them at pickup throughout the area for free, and also mainstreetmag.com on the web.